Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 168 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of September 22nd, 2017. Wow, I said stone. Like
Stone
really.
Stone Age Gamer my, podcast.
My South Jersey accent came through like, man, that is unavoidable at times.
It is. We're going to go get
Stone Age Gamer.
We're going to go get some water ice after this.
Some water ice?
Some water ice. W-O-O-D-E-R. Water ice.
I am Chris Rantasm, and joining me, as always, is Hidden Golf Game Dan Ryan.
Good evening.
Dan and I have both been spending time with Metroid Samus Returns, and we're going to talk all about what we think of it. But before we go any further, here is your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you, the listener. Dan, Hidden Golf Game. Did you hear about this?
I did not hear about the Hidden Golf Game on the Switch.
All right, so as people discovered a few months ago that there was an NES emulator built into the Switch.
Right, and that we knew about.
Yeah, nobody knew what it was for, but it was there. So then they found a file marked FLOG, and it was the NES game Golf.
Sure.
And backwards. Okay, so... so golf is in everyone's Switch. And then they discovered, obviously without 100% confirmation from Nintendo, but what seems to be the case is that that game is in the Switch as a tribute to Satoru Iwata, because the game is only accessible on July 11th, which is the date he died. And you access the game by taking the Joy-Con off. And when you're on the home menu, you pick up your hands and do the Nintendo Direct, like directly to you thing that Satoru Iwata used to do.
Yeah.
And that motion starts up the game. And golf was the first game that Satoru Iwata worked, programmed by himself.
That's all types of spectacular.
That really is.
That's so
just
sweet.
About awful. Like,
oh, God,
the original golf
terrible.
Is an awful game, but holy crap, that is a really cool thing.
That is very, very sweet.
Yeah, I was really impressed by that. So way to go, Nintendo. Big thumbs up there. I learned all that from Go Nintendo, the website.
Fun go little, Nintendo, go Nintendo.
Way to go, Nintendo, and go Nintendo, go Nintendo.
Go Nintendo.
So, what have you been up to, Dan? How are you? How you been?
Oh,
we didn't get to catch up last time because you missed the first chunk of the episode.
I did. It was a good episode, though. I enjoyed our interview.
Yeah, Patrick was a nice guy.
Yeah, Patrick. Patrick rules. Everybody should buy his book, The Minds Behind the Games. Available right here at geekade.com. Right, we're selling it as well. I think.
Sure, why not?
Fair enough.
Send us money. We'll get you a copy at some point.
Yeah. Our version is much more expensive than every other website, though. It's very strange. No, man, like, right after I got done with the show last week, I started, like, oh, I have a little bit of a pain in the Gulliver there, right there in the old throat. That's not a good sign. And by Friday, I was full-blown sick. So even though my hot, sexy wife pre-ordered Metroid for me so that I could pick it up on my way home so I could have a physical copy, because like, it's weird, you know, my stance on digital things, like, give me all the digital stuff. Mm-hmm. Except for Nintendo games, I want them physically. I don't know why, I just do.
Yeah, I get it. I got mine physically as well. Ordered it from Amazon so it would come in the mail.
Yeah, well,
I'll get to that in a minute. I'll get to my story in a minute.
I swung into Target and grabbed my copy and then came home and played for a couple hours and was like, all right, I'm too sick. I'm going to bed. This fucking blows. This sucks real bad, and have been sick up until, like, still today, kind of.
I can still kind
of
hear it.
Yeah, it's a little stuffed in the old nose piece. Plus, there's been a lot of stuff going on in Puzzle and Dragons, a lot of stuff to have to clear, and challenges and whatnot, and new descends, and, you know, all that good stuff.
Can't break the streak.
No, I Oh, God, 787 days today or something like that? Something fucking stupid. It's just that I'm really excited to get the...
Congratulations.
thank you, I think. I'm really excited to get the 1,000-day Tamatra. That's good. And then I'm going to sell it right away. So that I don't have a reminder of that shit.
So my story of this... of ailment last Thursday.
Yeah, yours is so much worse. And you did it to yourself.
That's right. last Thursday, I went in to voluntarily get a vasectomy because no more kids.
Because we're adults.
Because that's over. No more kids.
That door is closed.
Unfortunately for me, I did it on Thursday and not Friday because Thursday still left me all to myself on Thursday with no Metroid Samus Returns. So what I did was last week I started a playthrough of AM2R again because I really wanted to play them both back to back. And so Thursday when I got home, I went to sleep and became intimately familiar with a bag of frozen peas. And I played AM2R for hours and really put some serious time into it. I didn't finish it though before Samus Returns came in on Friday, and then I spent most of the day playing that and been playing it as often as I can since. And it is a very interesting game that Dan and I have lots and lots to say about.
Yes, let's jump in. Can I hit you? Do we want to do like overall opinions first? Like
sure, let's do that. Let's get that out of the way.
Okay. Because what's interesting about this is that we cannot talk about Samus Returns without talking about AM2R.
Correct.
And as far as remakes of Metroid 2 Samus Returns are concerned, the 3DS Metroid Samus Returns is a horrible remake. AM2R is way closer to the source material.
Yeah, it's hard to even consider Samus Returns a remake, because it's not.
It's as a new Metroid game, it is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's really, really amazing.
But it's so different.
The only thing it shares in common with the original game is the setting and the basic idea of you have to fight these different evolutions of Metroids.
Right.
The map is not even similar. It's just not. There are very, very, very few similarities. There's a couple of like caves you fall down where the structure of the platforms in the caves are the same. Like a couple of those appear in the game.
Yeah.
The enemies are essentially the same, but they have completely different patterns. It's AM2R attempted to take what Metroid 2 was and apply the Zero Mission treatment to it and just take that game, apply new things to it and make it and flesh it out. And it was goddamn genius for it. And Samus Returns was just like, nah. We're going to see what we can do with a modern 2D Metroid game. And that's what it is. And it's so much more and different than I expected it to be, you know, because we played the last couple of Metroid games, the last couple of 2D Metroid games, including AM2R and Zero Mission and Fusion. And they've all been this like really kind of direct evolution of Super Metroid. And they never really deviated too far from what those games could do, the power sets that you get. And Samus Returns is like, no, screw all that noise. We're not going to base this on anything. We're just going to make what would modern sensibilities be in a 2D Metroid game. And it borrows some stuff that they learned properly from Other M and applies it to a straight-up 2D Metroid. And it's... okay, yeah. It gets a big fat hairy thumbs up for me as well.
Especially a little bit
later in the game.
Yeah, it really is a spectacular game, but it is not a remake of Metroid 2. It's a completely new thing.
What would you even call it? Like, it's just a complete reimagining?
It is a complete reimagining.
Because it is, you know, it is that same story, not that it's like a huge story or anything, but it's that part. It is this story of Samus going to SR388 and eradicating the Metroids and... you know, the spider ball, and there's the things that happen in the game. There's that basic outline, but it is so far removed from it, it's just a complete and total reimagining.
All right, show's over. We're good.
Yeah, that's it. Go play. Go play more Metroid.
Go play Metroid. Join us next week when we interview Patrick Hinkey again.
Just for shits and giggles.
Just for shits and giggles. I didn't get enough
ask
chat.
Ask him what he thinks of Metroid.
Yeah. So, all right, you've got kind of a list here of how you want to go through this, so...
Yeah, these were just, like, I put in the notes just a bunch of things that I wanted to tap on, and primarily the... All right, so the controls were a bit of an issue for me at first, and they have been an issue. They're not an issue anymore, because where I'm at in the game, I now have the plasma spacer death beam and the screw attack, so...
So it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, like, obviously there are still challenges,
sure.
But, you know, I still have to be careful, because that is something about this game that's different, is that every creature in this game is aggressive.
And they can, like, all kill you.
They can all kill you. Not so much for me anymore, but there are ones that will take chunks out of your health, yeah. And if you're just careless too long... they will eventually kill you. I haven't died in a while, but before I got the gravity suit and the spacer death beam and the screw attack, I was dying pretty frequently, especially the bosses.
Oh, yeah.
Like, those Metroid guys are tough. You know what I learned? A charged ice beam attack is really useful against Beta Metroids, I think.
Okay.
The ones that are on all fours, but not the ones that stand up and start vomiting shit at you and climb on the ceiling.
Right, right.
Like, those guys, if you do a charged ice beam shot at them, it'll freeze over their stomach and they'll land, and they'll get up and do the charge that you can then counter with the melee move, which then you just pump a bunch of missiles into them, and that takes a lot of their health away.
That melee
move... That took
move
me a long time to learn, yeah.
...is so hard to do on the Metroids, and it should be. But man, do I struggle with the timing on that.
I did, and to eventually got it. It was almost like learning to play Punch-Out. All right, so if you haven't played this game yet, and you haven't seen this yet, so what they added to this game is a melee counter, which is similar to, in Metroid Other M, they had this dodge move that you could do. And if you dodged properly, like at this exact right time, you could do a counterattack that would... do a shitload of damage. So what they did in Samus Returns, what I was getting at with all the creatures being very aggressive, is that in your typical Metroid game, there's a pattern that the creatures follow, and then, you know, you attack them and whatnot, and you learn their patterns and go about it. Like, creatures will fly back and forth or walk around in a circle. But in this game, they'll have their little basic patterns where they'll, you know, flap their wings around in a little circle or whatever. But when you get close to them, they'll attack you. Like, they'll just charge at you. And you have this move where Samus will, like, swing her arm up. And if you hit them properly with that, it'll go into slow-mo and you can just do a one-hit kill on them. And that's great. It takes a lot of getting used to, but the Metroids themselves, they have a tell. They'll all do this, like, one specific white flash before they're ready to do a move that you can counter. And if you just wait for that, you really have to be patient and wait for that specific one, then you can, like, I'm at the point now, if I'm fighting a Metroid and they're going to do that attack, I can nail them with the melee counter, like, 90% of the time. But it took a long time to get there to be patient, like playing Punch-Out, you know? You're going against a character, and you know they're going to do a specific tell, and you have to dodge left, or you have to duck, or you have to counter, or whatever. It's just like that. And it's just like, you're in the middle of this fight, they have all these moves that can kill you incredibly quickly, and you just have to be patient, and you have to be, like, really, really quick with your reflexes. And then once you get it down, it becomes a lot easier.
And it really does fundamentally change the way you play through this game.
It does. It's so weird, too, because you're running around, and now you have to beware of all the monsters, like the little monsters that you're just running past in something like Super Metroid or Zero Mission. Like, these things will all attack,
right?
And they'll keep coming at you until either you kill them or they kill you. And so you've got to be ready with that melee counter, because your weapon systems, like, unless you're pumping missiles into them, they're not going to do a whole heck load of damage. And the missiles aren't the easiest things to hit people with, because they're not super fast,
right?
But what's funny is, now that I have the spacer plasma death beam, I rarely use the counter anymore, because now that I have that weapon, I can, and the screw attack, I can just kill things as I run. And now I'm playing it similar to the way I used to play Metroid. So it's even more freeing now that you get all that stuff. Because you know that feeling when you're playing a Metroid game and you get to the end and you have all the power-ups and you're just like, well, I'm God now.
I am just unstoppable. I'm just going to flip.
Screw attack, gravity jump through everything.
Yep, I'm just going to destroy everything.
Except even the screw attack isn't invulnerable in this one. Like, there's resistance to it. There are things that'll take multiple hits from the screw attack. So I'll be, like, jumping through the air, and then I'll hit something, and I'll bounce off of it. I won't take any damage. I'll be like, excuse you, and I just jump into it again.
I think not, sir.
Yeah, no. Screw attack. Nothing trumps screw attacks. It's screw you, sir.
That's the whole point of the name. Yeah, like,
I haven't gotten the power bombs yet.
Really? That far into it?
Yeah, I still haven't gotten the power bombs. So there's all these places on the map that I keep marking with these yellow markers. Be like, well, got to come back with a power bomb for that.
Right.
So I'm curious where that's going to be. And another thing that I'm finding immensely interesting, and I know this because of Metroid 2, and I can't say that I know this, but
right.
I know what these mean in Metroid 2. In Metroid 2, at the end of the game, you save the baby Metroid, mm-hmm. and on your way out, the baby Metroid eats through these walls that are all made of these little diamonds. I am encountering these walls
everywhere.
With items hidden behind them everywhere.
Yeah.
Am I going to go through this whole game with the Metroid as my little companion?
I don't know.
Like, am I going to be able to hang on to that thing? And then, or are they going to give me an item that's going to kill that stuff? Because that seems awfully intentionally like that's the stuff the Metroid gets you through in the original game.
And it's everywhere.
I know. It's all over the place. And if I can run through the whole world and have, like, this little baby Metroid hanging out with me, that's going to be so awesome. I have my fingers crossed that that's the case, because I really want it to be true.
Maybe that's, like, a new game plus mode?
Maybe, or
something
because,
like
you
that.
Know, you at the end of the first, the original game, you get the baby Metroid and you come out on the other side of your ship all the way at the beginning after you go through the caves. But
right.
I went through to the other side once I got the gravity jump and the screw attack and whatnot back in the beginning. And there's like this other shit over there. So I don't know if you're going to come back over from that side after you beat the queen in this game, or if you're just going to have to go back through some other tunnels and have the option to just go F with the game with the baby Metroid. Because that would be absolutely
awesome. That would be
awesome.
Very cool. I would have to imagine there's more to it, though, too. Very similar to how in Zero Mission, like, you got to a point and you're like, oh, I'm going to go up here now. What the fuck is up here now? There's stuff.
Oh, yeah.
There's new stuff, and I don't have my suit.
The whole Zero Mission at the end, yeah.
Like, what is this? Like,
So
you're about 60% of the way through the game, right?
Well, I've covered 60. My item rate is that. That's what the item rate is 50. I'm 9.5 hours in, 58.7%, which I'm assuming is the item rate. So I think I'm closer to, according to my counter, I have 5 Metroids left. And I'm pretty sure that's not going to be the case, because in the original game, that number shoots up towards the end, too.
Right.
Because I feel like I'm getting close.
I am only 4.5 hours into the game and only 16%. Of the way through with 26 Metroids left, because again, sick.
Yeah.
Just couldn't. But like, so what's interesting, I think, about the counter move, I think this will kind of dovetail into the next little bit, is the fact that you cannot control it with the D-pad, which I don't like. That is the only complaint I have about this game. Now, for anybody, again, who hasn't played this, in this game, you, by holding the L trigger on the 3DS, or the new 3DS, or the new 2-3DS, or the 3DDS, well, how many, did I get them all?
32DS.
The 32X Lite, DDS.
XL.
XLI. 7.
Turbo Championship Edition.
Turbo Championship Edition. On all the different versions, if you hold the L trigger, you, Samus freezes in place, and you have complete 360 range of motion with your gun arm, which creates kind of some silly looking like character work where she's like frozen in place but like shooting behind her. It's kind of funny looking. But to do that, in order to achieve that freedom of motion, you control Samus completely with the analog nub, which is not a great control. Like, it's not a great analog nub.
It's not ideal for a 2D game, no matter how you slice it.
Right. And that, the analog nub on this in particular isn't great. I've never really cared for it all that much because it's more just a slippy kind of disc as opposed to an analog pad, stick.
Which is good for portable stuff, but it's like, it kind of lends to why I really wish this game was on Switch.
Right.
And before anyone says it, I've seen a lot of people online being like, why is this game on 3DS? It should have been on Switch. And I'm not of that camp. Mm-hmm. I understand why this is on 3DS. I get it. I can't remember who said it. Somebody I follow on Twitter was saying, like, oh, remember when Kirby's Adventure came out on NES after the Super Nintendo was out and everyone lost their mind? Yeah, me neither. Like, well, yeah, I get it. It's fine. Keep releasing games on the 3DS. I'm ready to retire my 3DS. It's been out for a long, long time. But
also keep in mind that they have clearly established that 2D Metroid is a portable thing. Like, this type of Metroid game is a handheld thing. This is where this lives. Metroid Prime 4 is the Switch game.
No, I get that. I get that for a while, 2D Metroid games have been... for a while, they've been only on portables. But it hasn't always been that way. Metroid 1
was
home console. Then 2 was portable. Super Metroid was... back on the home console, and then after that kind of split off, 3D Metroids on home console, but they've also done 3D Metroids on the handhelds too. So
that's true.
Federation Force and Hunters are on the DS and 3DS. So,
but we don't talk about those.
No, we don't.
We don't mention
except when
those
we did that retrospective. Yeah. Well, we talked about all of them.
So where I was going to go with that, let me just finish this before we jump into the rest of the Switch. Because the counter move is so prevalent in the game, and then by the time that you don't need, you don't necessarily need the counter move, but it does seem like the progression through the game was built kind of around countering the enemies.
If you're not using it, you are really doing yourself a disservice, and you're making the game 10 times harder than it needs to be.
So if I am countering enemies and automatically locking onto them to attack anyway, I don't need 360 degrees of motion. I just don't. There's also the problem with on my 3DS, I have the little secondary nubby off to the right, which you don't have, right? Like, you have earlier
you
model.
Have a new 3DS. I have an original 3DS.
Yeah, so I have the little nubbier deal over here. But because not everybody has that, they couldn't put that as an option for 360 control, because that would have been...
they could have, they just didn't.
Well, yeah, you're right.
They've done, optional control, you have control options for people who have a new 3DS or something, and they could have done that, but they didn't. Now, the new 3DS, do you have four shoulder buttons or still just two?
It's still just the two. No, it's four. Yeah, there's the L, the R, and then the ZL and ZR.
See, now that's interesting to me. But all right, go on.
Yeah, there's those four. So because the counter is so prevalent in the game, like, I'm already aiming at that stuff. And the times where I need to have a full 360 degree range of motion to aim at, like, a block that I'm going to shoot with a missile specifically or whatever are so few and far between. This game should control with a D-pad.
You don't have the wave beam yet, do you?
I do.
You do?
Yep,
Once I got the wave beam, I started using that 360-degree thing all the time because I was always shooting through walls to attack enemies so I wouldn't have to go up and melee counter them.
Sure. I mean, you can, but you don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, should have been that option because it just...
Exactly. I feel like it would have
worked. It's the only complaint I have.
Having it be, see, now the 360 degree thing, that didn't bother me with the lack of a D-pad option. See, I wanted to be able to do you know, switch back and forth between D-pad and analog stick. They should both work at all times.
Right.
And at any time, if I want to do the 360 move, just move my thumb up to the analog nub and do it that way. And then for regular movement, do the D-pad. Because, and this specifically happened with a lot of the Metroid battles, is I want that precise control of a D-pad for, you know, taking, you know, tapping it to do a quick step that you can't really pull off when you're sliding the analog nub, because there's so much give to just make Samus move like a tiny step, or to jump in the air and tap down twice to do the morph ball in midair and then catch onto something by holding the L trigger with the spider ball in midair. Like,
oh,
these are tricks I used to be able to do
right
in Return of Samus.
And that,
and now
is
if I want to do that,
you
can tap the bottom screen with your left thumb to do an auto morph ball roll. But that's something that AM2R did really well, is they made a dedicated button to automatically jump into morph ball, so you don't have to tap down twice to do it. So you can jump in midair, hit the morph ball button, and then hit the spider ball button immediately, and you can just do a super high jump and then grab onto the wall. Like, these
right
are advanced techniques that you should have been able to do. And had this been on Switch with the extra buttons, or even if they had used those extra buttons and options on the new 3DS,
well, yeah, because that's the thing,
you would have been able to do that.
The ZL and the ZR, I can't set those to automatically roll into a ball.
And that's ridiculous.
And I should be able to. That's it's.
And using the D-pad. The D-pad is being used for selecting between your Aeon abilities, which is really funny to me, those Aeon abilities, because in the beginning of the game, as I'm getting the Aeon abilities, I'm treating them exactly as I treated the I can't even think of what they're called anymore. The things in Zelda. Runes, or
yeah,
they're not runes, like the magnesis and whatnot. I can't remember what they're called, but I didn't use those things for the longest time. I just kind of forgot I had them because they weren't part of playing Zelda to me, just like these Aeon abilities aren't part of Metroid to me. And then at some point, like halfway through the game, I'm like, these are indispensable. I should have been using this shit the whole time.
Oh yeah, I've
like
I
that
use them.
Mapping ability, oh my god, that's so great. And the gun
expansion, I just got
thing.
The gun.
Whew. Oh man,
the gun is,
because there you're gonna start coming across lots of enemies you literally can't beat without that. Like, they will not die unless you're hitting them with that.
Yeah, like, I just got the gun and it was like, you know, because this game does a really nice job of being like, hey, here's a new ability, so why don't you go check out this new ability, like, over here, like, try it out. And like, I got that gun and was like, oh my god, this is incredible. This is the best. I love everything about this.
Oh, and that's another great use of the 360 degrees, is when you get the swarms of bats coming at you, or you're underwater and you get the swarms of fish, and you're just like, cool, I'll plant myself here, turn on the crazy death beam, and just go mow them all down. That's just wonderful.
It really is, but I should be able to control it with the D-pad.
You should be able to do both analog and D-pad at all times. That's how you make this all things to all people, because controlling a platformer consistently with an analog stick is just not a good plan.
It's just not. And like, and the Aeon abilities could have been done with those could have been on the touchscreen, just like my
switching like
between
stuff,
the grapple beam and the ice beam and the fucking pulse beam or wave beam. Like,
and
they could have been down there, or they could have been start and select, because start and select do the exact same thing in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
there
could have
been any number of ways to do that that didn't, you know, incorporate the D-pad, so that you could have used both options to control Samus, because she doesn't have analog movement. Mm-mm. The only analog movement is the 360 degree aiming. So that's kind of a complaint for me. But it kind of brings me to a thing that I realized when I was thinking about, you know, talking about this episode, is that every single portable Metroid has been hindered by the fact that they were on portable systems. Every single one of them.
Yeah.
The last completely unencumbered 2D Metroid game was Super Metroid, which is one of the best games anyone has ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Super Metroid is still a damn near flawless experience. and that was a full-blown home console Metroid game. And that was unencumbered in any way, shape, or form. The controller had all the buttons you would need to do all the things that Samus needs to do. And Metroid 2 was held, not really held back, but kind of, by the fact that it was on the Game Boy. There was no color. So all the environments looked the same. You know, it was hindered by the fact that it was on the Game Boy, tiny screen, so you have this big character, but then your draw distance is terrible. So there's Metroid 2. Metroid Fusion, again, you've got all these abilities and whatnot, but Super Metroid, the speed booster, was a button that you pressed to run, or right. You could walk. And in this one, it's like, well, now the speed booster is you just run for a certain amount of time, and then it'll automatically kick in. Like, they did these things that needed to be done to kind of incorporate that into the restrictions of the buttons.
Right.
Same thing with Zero Mission. Same thing with even the 3D Metroids that hit on portable systems. There's always something holding them back, be it just, you know, the graphics are made for a tiny screen or something. Now, when I look at this game, what's holding it back is, obviously, I'm looking at the art direction, which is outstanding on this, but there's all these low resolution textures all over everything.
Right.
And it's like, I can't not see this. It does look really good in 3D, though. It does look really good in 3D.
Really good in 3D.
I can't play it for more than a couple of minutes. It just gives me a headache. So, if this game was on Switch, one, I'd be able to play it on my TV, because that's what I want to do with this game. I want to sit on my couch and I want to play this awesome, gorgeous game on my television. And I want to play it on a controller that's not going to be limited. So you're like, you can do all these things in this game, but you're switching between weapons by, you know, tapping icons on the touchscreen. And that kind of stuff should be applied to a right analog stick or something, like it was in Metroid Prime. There's so much stuff that they're cramming onto the 3DS, and there just aren't enough buttons to elegantly pull it off.
Well, and what's unfortunate about it is that on my 3DS, on the new 3DS, there are enough buttons.
Yeah, there are. You could actually do all of it on your 3DS, and unfortunately, you can't.
Right, because that sentence is preceded by the sentence of, or by the words, on my 3DS, because the market is so fractured, and I think they knew that going in. I mean, what? There's still only a handful of games that only work on the new 3DS.
Yeah,
like Xenoblade, the portable one, I think was only new 3DS.
Binding of Isaac.
The
Super Nintendo Virtual Console things for some fucking reason.
Which is weird, but whatever. And maybe it has to do with the processor, the extra shoulder buttons probably. But, I mean, even then, it's a little straight. But, like, there's very, very few games that you can only play on the new 3DS. And it really makes you wonder why they even bothered.
But there are games that take advantage of the new 3DS.
Sure.
And the second analog stick that's built into the new 3DS and the extra processing power. And they still are functional on a regular 3DS. Like, I wouldn't have a problem with this if those things were available to me in the new 3DS, then I wouldn't be as pissed that this game isn't on Switch.
Right.
And, like, again, I get why this game is on 3DS. It makes sense. This is, releasing a 2D Metroid game after the last two Metroid games did not perform very well. I get it. This is not a franchise that Nintendo wants to risk a whole lot on. But it's such a good game, and it would look so good, and it would fill a void on the Switch. Like, it makes a lot of sense to eventually port this to Switch in HD, and I would buy it again in a heartbeat.
I think you will see that. I think that's a pretty safe bet.
I really, really hope so. The biggest problems in this game that I have are the limitations of the 3DS.
Right.
And they don't exist on the Switch. And this game would look so gorgeous in HD. This would look so nice with the texture pack and, oh, God.
Well, and what's nice about it is that the game exists, mm-hmm. and HD upscale isn't the hardest thing in the world. I mean, Okami is coming out again on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
like an HD of the HD for Okami, which will look stunning on that. We're getting Shadow of the Colossus again, you know, and I don't know if you saw there's a video going around today. They showed at TGS right now, they showed the exact same trailer that they showed in 2005 for Shadow of the Colossus. They showed it side by side with the current Shadow of the Colossus trailer. And the difference is staggering. Like, you look at the one from 2005 and you go, wow, I used to think that looked good. That looks like dog shit. Oh, God, why would anybody have played? Like, it's just, it's so vastly, but this is now a market in video games, right? Like, HD remakes, yeah. We've done shows about what games we would like to see, you know, upscaled and whatnot. So, so for Nintendo.
Or even just ported elsewhere. I mean, Look at this, the library for the Switch, and how it's not even a bad thing. Like, they're going to sell Skyrim on Switch. That's going to sell. Like,
probably.
And that game is old, and I'm now convinced that that game's actually going to sell. I'm going to buy Doom when it comes out on Switch. It's that quick segue. That was one of the games. Remember, I always said, like, I really want a PS4 because there's a handful of games on it that I really, really want to play.
Yeah.
Doom was like number two or three on the list.
Oh, yeah.
I love Doom, and I wanted to play that game so badly, and now I can. I'm so freaking stoked, and it looks good.
It looks really good.
They showed the video footage on Nintendo Direct. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well,
cannot wait to play that.
As a Nintendo only console owner, you finally have a system now that is current gen. I mean,
yeah,
for
I mean,
so
and,
long
and
Nintendo
like,
has been last gen in the current gen.
And it is still technically kind of last gen, like it's not going to run some of these games, but
well, it's not
going to
run Destiny 2, it's not going to run, you know, Horizon or shit like that.
Or Assassin's Creed Origins, but at the same time, like it's capable enough to run Doom looking that good. That's good enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
I do not mind taking a hit in graphics for the ability to play games on the Switch. I don't mind at all, especially if they're going to look that good. And now granted, Doom isn't like holy crap amazing. Doom, I think the holy crap amazing is a lot more the art direction than the actual tech, but at the same token, like, it's still pretty damn impressive looking. So,
well, that and the fact that it is going to run smoothly.
Exactly. It's going to run smoothly. It's going to look good. It's going to feel good. We're not talking about a, what was the Wii Dead Rising game? Dead Rising Chop Till You Drop.
Yeah.
Which wasn't as bad as everyone said it was, but it was still pretty, like, the zombie hordes were like a third of what they were supposed to be, which was half the fun of the game. But
yeah,
regardless, we're not talking about that kind of a situation. We're talking about a downgrade to still damn good looking, you know?
Right.
And
we're talking about a downgrade to first generation PS4 games. Still
pretty
fucking good.
Yeah.
Like,
still,
you know,
not
we're
too shabby.
We're very quickly approaching a level where the graphical fidelity is almost at a point where it's like, okay, like, yes, this could look better, but really, how much better can it look?
Yeah, like, you're not going to notice it unless it's sitting side by side. Like,
right.
NBA 2K18, yep. Comparison videos came out, and I remember seeing, like, why are you comparing Switch to PS4? And, like, no, look at this. And you're looking at them side by side, and you're like, okay, I see there's a difference in the PS4 one, but then they'll do, like, and this is the Switch, and this is the PlayStation 4, and this is the Xbox One Elite or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at it, and you can see them when they're next to each other. You can see the difference. But when, like, the Switch NBA 2K is running solo, I'm like, I don't see a difference.
That looks good.
It looks the same to me.
Yeah.
Like,
so, and that's the thing. Like, the bigger concern now is, can we get games that keep a consistent frame rate throughout the entirety of the experience? Like,
yeah.
When we're, you know, lock it at 60, lock it at 30, like, whatever it's locked at, it has to stay at now. And that's kind of nice that we're at that point now, because that also improves the gameplay experience to such a staggering degree. Like, frame rate, for so long we always talked about graphics, because the jumps were so huge, 8-bit to 16-bit, 16-bit to PlayStation, you know, Super Nintendo to PlayStation, because we're going to not talk about the 32X. And then from there to, like, PS2 PS3,
yeah,
we're going 32
to 64, 64 to 128.
Yeah, and, you know, like, and then at some point it was like, all right, this is starting to get really good. Now let's focus on the
it
frame
was like
rate.
Xbox,
but
the
but
Xbox
that's not as sexy,
you know.
And, you know, yeah,
yeah, that's not as sexy as, but it is. You know, that's the kind of shit that's always been. It's one of those things. Like, I feel like Nintendo has always done really good at locking their frame rates and whatnot, mm-hmm. and it's that piece of presentation that has always turned me off to games like Skyrim or whatever, where it's like, yeah, it looks really good on paper, but once it starts moving, it just kind of falls apart. But
yeah,
we've gotten way off topic here. Bringing it back to Metroid, so
yeah, it's okay.
We're gonna take a break in a minute, and we're gonna come back and really compare it, like point by point, compare it to AM2R. Were there any other just Samus Returns thoughts that you wanted to come out with before we take a break?
Metroids are fucking hard. They're such assholes. Like, they have, the boss fights are really fun. Like, the Metroid fights
they
in
are,
this
they're
game
really cool.
Are really, really fun. There's always like a slight little difference. Oh, the one thing I did want to mention, when you get the Varia suit, so you can go in the hot areas. The music change there is so good.
It is
so
it transitions to that.
Oh my god!
It's music
god.
From Super Metroid, and it's a oh,
but it is
yeah.
it is so perfect for like shit has just gotten real. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and when you fight Metroids, that music doesn't change.
No.
Everywhere else in the game, when you're fighting a Metroid, the music changes. But when you're in the hot areas, it just, like, it keeps going with the Ridley's Lair music. And you're just
so
like,
good.
Shit. And there's, like, different flavors of Metroids. Like, some of them are all electric, and then some of them are all, like, fire. And it's
very
awesome.
Cool. I mean, it's just, they have done such a good job. Like, this game is almost fan service to a point. Like, and we touched a little bit on the Aeon abilities, but like they really are game changers for lack of a better term. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
they're legit new abilities. And it goes back to this, actually, a really good point. It goes back to what I was saying about this is a modern Metroid mm-hmm. game. Like, there are all the accoutrements of modern games that you didn't get in the older games. Like, you can leave markers all over your map that
Which
say,
is
this
great.
Is where this is. This
yeah.
is where this is. You can do whatever you want with your map. It's got the 360-degree aiming. It's got actual new power-ups. You know, when you die, you don't go back to automatically your last save point. You'll just go to these internalized checkpoints that it doesn't tell you that it's doing it. It's just it.
Right. You just kind of pops you back a minute before. And also,
and it treats Samus kind of like she animates and moves like
a modern
like a badass.
Character. Yeah.
Like, and they learned a lot of that from Other M,
yeah.
which was one of the things that game really got right, was that Samus is not afraid to jam her gun in something's mouth and blow its brains out. Like, she's a fighter and not just somebody who shoots at things from a distance. This melee counter thing that they added to this has really kind of opened up some cool avenues for Samus. It's awesome.
It'll be really cool when they add that to the next Smash Brothers.
Well, they kind of already did that. Her smacking people with her gun. That's something that she does in Smash Brothers, and they like her throw in Smash Brothers is the grapple beam. You know, she grapple beams you, pulls you in, and then starts punching you in the face. Like, it's neat to see that kind of stuff being added to the actual Metroid games, as opposed to just this is how she fights in Smash Brothers.
Yeah, I am very impressed with what Mercury's theme has done with this.
Yeah, seriously.
Because I was a little concerned.
Big fat kudos to Mercury Steam. Yeah, me too.
Like, I like their Castlevania game on the 3DS. It's not the best Castlevania game on the 3DS, yeah. but I like it. You know,
it
and
was cool.
To get
it had
Metroid
some good ideas.
Is I think my favorite feature that they added, though, is the little, when you get an Aeon ability, the little, like, roll into a ball, like, the tongue, like, does like
yeah,
a wave
the little Chozo
and,
thing
so weird,
that kind of rolls
cool.
you through. It's awesome.
I like it a lot. I don't know why, but she just like she comes out in superhero stance and it's real badass mm-hmm. and yeah, it's good. Good.
Yeah, you know, Mercury Steam, they did a couple of interviews before this came out and said that they were a better developer from having worked with Nintendo on this game. and like they learned a ton, and I see that because you can see the DNA of the Lords of Shadow. Was it Mirror of Fate, I think, was the name of the 3DS game? You can see some of that DNA in here.
And absolutely. The
very basics of what this is built on, but you can also see that they really refined, because what they tried to do with Mirror of Fate was add this kind of melee aspect to the Castlevania thing where it's like just whip, 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 and then they added like blocking and some more melee type moves, and they didn't really hit that balance, and they didn't really hit the exploration all that well.
Right.
And when they worked on this game with Sakamoto and whatnot, they learned, they really just melded what he knew and the Nintendo team knows with what they know, and they made this really incredible experience. The last thing I wanted to say about it is the use of the grapple beam in this game is phenomenal. It is, I don't know how much you've used yours yet.
I just got it
there's
15 minutes ago in game.
The things that you do with the grapple beam in this are just like, there will be blocks that you have to break with your grapple beam. You have to get to another side, you shoot it, hold the button down, hold back on the analog stick, and Samus will pull it and then break the brick. Or there will be like a long passage with spikes on either side, and you shoot the grapple beam up and she'll like jump up there, and then there will be another one to your left, and you can grapple beam and pull yourself to the left, like instead of just up and swinging back and forth. And eventually you will get to use the grapple beam on some Metroids. The next stage of evolution in the Metroids, they'll climb up on the ceiling and start shooting fireballs at you, and this little red spot will show up on their back. And if you shoot your grapple beam at it and hold down, Samus will yank the grapple beam, pull the Metroid off the ceiling, and it'll kind of get dizzied, and you can take a bunch of shots at it while it's laying on the ground.
That's
incorporating
awesome.
The grapple beam and all this shit is, they did that in Metroid Prime 3 a lot, and it was wonderful. Like, the grapple beam is such a great item, and it's more than occasionally underutilized, especially when you get to a point in like Super Metroid, for example. It's essentially useless once you get the gravity jump and the screw attack.
Right.
That's not so in this game. Like, you can't fit when you're doing a gravity jump screw attack through certain passages, and using it to break specific bricks that you can only shoot the beam through because they're through these tiny little holes you can't fit through. They so freaking clever. It's really, really intelligently made. And I if I were wearing a hat, it would be tipped to them right now.
Mine is. I'm wearing a hat for the both of us.
Outstanding. All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to do a direct comparison to AM2R, to an extent, the original Metroid 2 and Metroid Samus Returns, and see what we like better, what we don't, and have a fun conversation. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer Podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, there's a new episode of Geekade's comic book podcast, Nonstop Comic Shop in Town, and this time the guys are talking all about Marvel's Elektra. Catch Jordan's review of the first three issues of Elektra Bloodlines, a tribute to Watercolors, Dream Logic, and YOLO Guns. Can old Elektra Nachos, I like Elektra Nachos, can old Electric Nachos and her new friend, 1920s flapper Harley Quinn-esque Cape Crow, who is neither a bird nor a wide mountainous peninsula, from the jaws of Cannibal Mega Man? Plus, what about the Defenders? What about the awful Jennifer Garner movie? What about the children? Don't miss Nonstop Comic Shop, Episode 5, Sigh. Ha, see what you did there. Of relief.
Yeah, it makes me laugh every time I see you. Well done, Jordan.
It's pretty funny.
That episode title is spot on. Then, 2015 Super Mario Maker was a heck of a game. Tons of gamers created tons of levels, invented tons of new ways to play Mario, and most importantly, had tons of fun. Whether they noticed it or not, they were doing all this to an incredible soundtrack. Well, I noticed, and I made it the focus of the latest episode of the Wave Back Music Podcast. Join me and Ring the Bell's Matt Ramo as we listen to some fantastic mashups of songs from this amazing Wii U game in Wave Back Episode 44, Super Mario Maker. If you listened to our Mega Man episode a little bit ago, I'm still in flux on what I am or aren't doing, but as of right now, I did a solo, just regular Waveback episode with Matt Ramo, and it went great. So if you liked our Mega Man 2 episode, look up the Waveback Music Podcast and give it a listen. It's just music episodes. It's what I do.
And Matt needs more friends.
He does.
He's a good guy. He does. Finally, Squeenix, that's Square Enix, is remaking the Super Nintendo classic Secret of Mana. Everybody loves Secret of Mana, including Geek Age Jonathan Fugger. So much so, in fact...
Fugger.
I know. I'm always going to say Fugger, though, because it makes me laugh. It's like I'm saying fucker, but I'm not. So much so, in fact, that he decided to make a list of all the stuff he hopes gets addressed and decidedly not addressed in the upcoming revamp. Read all about it in Geek Age Top 10 Hopes for the Secret of Mana Remake.
You can catch all this great stuff plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com. And we're back. Let's talk about let's compare more pretty directly. What do we like better, AM2R or Samus Returns on specific aspects? Overall, now you haven't finished either of those games, right, Dan?
Right. Right. I lost my save somewhere in my computer because I moved a bunch of shit around and got a new hard drive and whatever. So I have to go back and start AM2R. It's kind of an unfair question, though, because they're different games.
They are very different games.
They are so different.
But they are two different takes on the same subject matter.
Right now, my leaning is towards AM2R only because I get to control it with the D-pad. Like, that's the thing that kicks it over to AM2R's court for me, because I haven't gotten... You know, like I said, I'm 16%. I'm only 4.5 hours into this. So maybe when I get the screw attack and super ultra mega death beam and whatever, you know, like, and whatever the last Aeon ability is, that might push it back.
I won't spoil that for you. It's pretty rad.
Yeah. That might push it back towards 3DS Samus Returns.
This one, I did finish AM2R and I haven't finished Samus Returns, so I can't say for sure which one I like better overall, because there's still more of Samus Returns for me to see.
Right.
Right now, I might be leaning towards Samus Returns.
Okay.
Just because it is it's not really derivative of any other Metroid games, whereas AM2R was. And not in a bad way. AM2R my game of the year that was... quote-unquote released.
Right, yeah, last year.
For a goddamn good reason. Yeah. That game was incredible. Blew my mind.
Yep. There's no reason it should have been as good as it was.
Yeah.
There's just absolutely not.
So let's break it down into some individual categories. Let's start with music. AM2R or Samus Returns?
That's really hard, because I like a lot of what was done in AM2R, but I think I would go with Samus Returns.
I'm going hands down AM2R.
Really?
I'm enjoying the music in Samus Returns, but so there wasn't a lot of music in Metroid 2 Remake.
Right.
And I think what they did in AM2R was far more clever and interesting than what they've done in Samus Returns, because a lot of the areas are... just a lot of ambient sounds,
right?
Which was what the sound was in Metroid 2 a lot. So in some ways, it's a little bit closer to, in the at least the music design, a little bit closer to the original game. But if I'm comparing like the individual songs, like what they did with them, like the Surface of SR388 song is leagues better in AM2R than it is in Samus Returns. Now, the Samus Returns one is great. It is outstanding, but it is, and it's very abrasive, and it's a very badass sounding song, and it sets the tone for how this game is a much more action oriented game than your typical Metroid game, where the creatures are more passive. And right. In this game, it's just like that really, really very, very abrasive. Dun, 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 that is really, really loud when it eventually comes in this game. And it's awesome. You feel very badass when you're playing it. But the mood that what they did with that song in AM2R, the setting, that very Metroid Prime-ish kind of mood, the instrumentation of it, everything about it is astonishing. There's another main tune that played a lot in Metroid 2 that's like, it's really, really, it's just kind of all over the place. It's not really much of a song, but it's got pieces of a song to it.
Right.
And what they did with Samus Returns is they kind of added those notes playing very lightly in the background of a bunch of ambient noise. And in AM2R, they took that and turned it into a song.
Right.
That is freaking fantastic.
Without question, the AM2R soundtrack is staggering.
Yes, Dr. M64 did such an incredible job. And I'm pretty sure that's who did the soundtrack of AM2R.
Right.
If I'm wrong, somebody please shoot me in the face.
somebody please give me another vasectomy.
Yeah, somebody give me another. Please, no. AM2R. Yeah, Dr. M64 is who I have listed as the musician who did the composer for that stuff. Now, AM2R also took songs from previous Metroid games, especially from Super Metroid,
right,
and applied a new style to them. And while, again, I don't want to detract from the sound design in Samus Returns because it is amazing. We're comparing two really, 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 really good soundtracks here. But for as good as the Brinstar Depths music is, the remake of Brinstar Depths in Samus Returns, the Brinstar music from Super Metroid that was remade in Metroid Prime style for the water zone that they did in AM2R.
Yeah.
Just blows it away. It is incredible what they did with that. So my vote goes hard and fast to AM2R in the music design.
All right.
Next would be the environments. What do you think?
I am giving that to Samus Returns, mostly because, like I said, I'm playing this mostly with the 3D on, and getting to see the waterfalls that are in the background in 3D, and there's certain parts of the game where, like, as you're jumping up, columns are crumbling in the background. And
has the giant robot attacked you yet?
No, I haven't gotten to the giant robot attack.
Okay, I'm not going to say anything. Okay, then.
you might have already said too much. Like, there's a lot of.
If by the time you realize what's happening, it's too late. You're just like, oh fuck, that is a giant robot.
Shit, god damn it! Like there's a lot of there's a lot of really interesting things happening in the backgrounds of this. Like, this to me feels like the most alive a planet has been in Metroid,
especially a 2D Metroid.
Yeah, like
as alive as Talon 4 was in Metroid Prime, if not more so, because it functions in this. I agree with you 100%. I'm not to take away from some of the stuff they did with AM2R, but you're even with the 3D off, you're running through these gorgeous dioramas. And this is part of what I mean by it. It is a modern 2D game where it's like, it's a 3D environment. This right. environment is cohesive. It makes a degree of sense. And it's so, like, oh, God, the waterfalls, like you're talking about. And every time I think, like, all right, here I am back in another purple cave, then I walk into a big room, and it's like, there's animals eating stuff in the background and like creatures crawling around. It's like, holy crap. Yes, there was another dank cave for like 15 seconds, but now there's all this other stuff going on too, and it's really, 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 really awesome.
Yeah, like it's so interesting if you think about like the first Metroid where it's like it's just black.
It's just black
back there, you know. Which so many of the original NES games were like they're just the just a solid color, you know. They when they did the Konami, or not the Konami remakes, the Nintendo remakes, like the Kid Icarus that has a background.
The 3D classics where they added the background. Oh my classics. God, like, it looks so cool. Good.
You know, like there's it gives it a just so much more life, and you know, like it makes me really really want this sort of treatment done to like Super Metroid, because as phenomenal as that game is, there is a certain amount of flatness to it, you know, because like the 2.5D thing that we're talking about here really was not a thing then, you know.
They weren't pushing polygons on the Super Nintendo, and even when they were like Star Fox,
right,
like,
which wasn't good.
Seeing a real modern take on this kind of environment, and seeing Samus run around in this kind of environment in a really good game. Because the other thing about like the Metroid Prime games is that they're all done from that first person perspective, which is super awesome, but at the same time you don't get to see Samus being a badass while you're playing.
Right.
And Other M, for all the stuff that it did right, it did way more stuff wrong, including the fact that, again, the game takes place entirely on a spaceship, just like Fusion. So the kinds of environments you're going through are relatively limited.
Right. And this is not, you know, this isn't to take away from AM2R. I mean, what they accomplished with the size of their team, which I think at the end there's like four people that worked on it. You know what I mean? This is a full development studio, Mercury Steam, with the input of Nintendo and Sakamoto. This better win on this sort of thing. You know what I mean? And what they did in AM2R was good. Like there's some interesting things going on.
Now I will say that in the creativity of that, AM2R does win.
Oh,
because
sure.
What AM2R did was, see, now what we've talked about here is like what this game just kind of threw the whole thing out and rebuilt from scratch. What AM2R did was they added lore and reasons to the things that were in Metroid 2 to begin with.
Right.
And that is, I would almost call it a different category than just the environments themselves, because they made this planet so interestingly cohesive that it was mind-blowing. Like, in Metroid 2, you get to these areas where there's, like, these big pipes that you can roll down. And they turned that into a water treatment facility for SR388. And they added all these crazy puzzles where you jump into these things as the morph ball and you shoot out these water pipes or whatever. That shit was incredible. They handled the crew that came beforehand, the science team that came out beforehand. They handled that incredibly well in AM2R. Samus Returns, they're just dead pretty much right in the beginning. You walk through and there's all their bodies like all over the place. And that's freaking cool. But you actually encounter the last remaining people on that team in AM2R. You go to this out-of-the-way place and you find that science team and they're fighting against a Metroid and they all die in front of you.
Right.
And then you have to kill that Metroid. And it's like, that was amazing. The scanning that they did in AM2R, where you would walk into a zone, like a new area, and it would say scanning environment, like Samus is using her scan visor, but you're still just playing the game, and you have the option to pause the game and read the lore of that entire area. That is genius and should have been in this. Like, they should have ripped that off wholesale from AM2R put that in this game. Because the scan visor was one of the most interesting things they added to Metroid through the Prime series. And they even attempted to incorporate it to an extent in Other M and failed miserably. That's how you do scan visor in a 2D Metroid game.
Right.
Is having it scan the environments piece by piece, and that's how you keep adding this interesting lore, which they had a ton of in AM2R, which was great. Added so much to it. So in that respect, I feel like AM2R did some really, really great stuff, including some very unique puzzles that they don't have in Samus Returns. Like, there are some neat puzzles, but it's like you're still... It's not like the puzzles are a big part of the game, because
right.
with the exception of like the Prime games, there usually wasn't a whole lot of puzzle solving in the environments. It's usually like, all right, well, how do I get through this kind of thing? How do I blow up the right block?
Right. It's more just an obstacle course.
Yeah. As opposed to a puzzle. And whereas in AM2R, they took hints from the Prime series where you'd have to like figure out these machines or these things to open up a door or find your way through something. There were actual environmental puzzles, almost Zelda style. And the ones that they came up with in AM2R were great.
They really were.
Just some absolutely great stuff. But of course, in Samus Returns, they did stuff like the warp stations,
mm-hmm.
Which are huge, especially when the game is this big.
Oh, I love them.
Being able to traverse
I love them warp so points. Much.
Is so, so great. It's not quite as freeing as the automatic warp from anywhere in Zelda was, for example, right. but it is still extremely freeing in a Metroid game like this. And they haven't done that in a 2D Metroid game. They added that stuff once in Castlevania Symphony of the Night, and they've been in the Castlevania these style games for a long time. But seeing it finally land in Metroid was really great.
Well, it just makes so much sense in a portable game of, you know, with the mindset that I have a limited amount of time. It is a portable title, so I'm on the bus playing this, or I'm on a train, or like I'm just in the bathroom, or whatever.
And
even if it's not
portable, yeah. Just that there is so much.
I just need to get back.
There's
over
so
here.
Much area to traverse yeah. in this game, and like when I'm going back, like after I got the screw attack and the death beam and everything, I started going back to all the old environments to grab as many missile tanks and whatnot as I could, just to explore and see what else is there.
Right.
And then I'm going to do that again after I get all the rest of the power ups to try to get to 100% completion.
Try to get rid of that damn diamond shit.
I hope I get to run around with the baby Metroid.
I really hope I do. I think what you're asking, though, are two different things, though. Like, environment yeah. versus world building. Like, world building yeah. AM2R wins, but as far as environment,
Samus Returns,
yeah.
What about art direction?
I think I like Samus Returns more. I think.
Me too.
I don't know. I have to wait and see as I get through more of it.
AM2R, that was one of the minor, and I mean extremely minor, complaints I had. When I talked about AM2R, I said it was missing that little tiny bit of extra Nintendo polish.
Yeah.
And pieces of the art direction were what I was talking about.
Yeah.
Like, you could tell which assets were reused from Nintendo games, and you could tell which assets were new.
Right.
And yeah. you could always see that in AM2R. And it was very impressive. I do not want to detract from that at all, but the direction they took all these character designs, especially the Metroids in Samus Returns, absolutely outstanding. And Samus looks great too.
Yeah, that's really what pushes it over the line for me, is the fact of how good Samus looks in Samus Returns.
Is there anything that the original Metroid 2 gets right that AM2R and Samus Returns doesn't do better?
No.
Agreed.
No, they're just...
not a damn thing.
Like, and again, it's so unfair to compare something that was on the original Game Boy. I mean, it's akin to comparing fucking... Super Mario 64 and Super Mario Land. Like, they both have their place. You know, there's reasons that mm-hmm. they're both there, but like, no. It's just...
Yeah, it's... We have now come to the point where absolutely every aspect of Metroid 2, like, Metroid 2 has been replaced.
Right. We're at this point, we're comparing apples to baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just not even the same thing.
Yeah, it's not even the same animal anymore. All right. I can't think of really anything else about this game that I wanted to say, or these games, other than I am going to, after I finish Samus Returns, I want to go back and finish my playthrough of AM2R again, because I did really like the back half of that game as well.
I still want AM2R. Somehow I want it on my 3DS.
I want to be able to play it on my television properly. You know, that's all I want out of any game. And that's really why I love the Switch so much, is that it is at all times a fully functioning console on that little screen and on the big screen. And it is a handheld that is not encumbered at all by the fact that it's a handheld.
Yeah.
And every game that's released for it, I can play on TV. They just announced that Picross is coming out for it. Jupiter is making a whole big Picross game for Switch. So I'll be able to sit on my couch and play Picross on TV again, which is I haven't done since my Super Game Boy. I'm really jazzed about that.
Which is crazy that it's been that long.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, there was like 950 Picross games released for 3DS.
Right.
And I love them for it because I can just take my time. And when I'm done with Picross E3, I can download Picross E4 for another $2 and get another 6 months or so worth of Picrosses out of it, which is wonderful. But now I'm just going to get them on Switch and be happy for all eternity because I love Picross. But yeah, with the exception of the fact that I want this game to be ported to Switch, like I'm glad that they gave the 3DS another awesome game like this. But with the exception of Chicken Wiggle, which I also downloaded, I'm about done with my 3DS.
Well, and that was what I was going to ask to end this. Do you think that this is the last hurrah, as it were, for the 3DS?
I hope so. And I think this is a wonderful swan song for the 3DS. And now the 3DS has gotten excellent games in like every major Nintendo franchise, which is awesome. There is an excellent Mario game, Metroid game, Zelda game, and Kid Icarus game on the 3DS. That's fantastic to me.
All it's missing is Punch-Out.
Yeah, that's right. It is missing Punch-Out. But that said, the 3DS was a remarkable system, but I'm about done with it, and which is one of the reasons I didn't buy Chicken Wiggle the day it came out. And just a quick segue, Jules Watson, who made Chicken Wiggle, he wrote a whole blog post about how Chicken Wiggle sold abysmal when it came out, and it was getting great reviews. It had some positive buzz, and he was trying to figure out why it didn't move, and he feels like a lot of the audience has moved on to Switch. And I can at least confirm from my point of view, I didn't buy it because I was hoping that it was going to come out on Switch.
Right.
And because I'm done playing 3DS. I'm not enjoying holding my 3DS and carrying that thing around with me anymore. Like,
oh, that,
I'm not.
That was the only other complaint I was going to mention. You just reminded me of it. Because of the way I hold this system, there have been three times where in the middle of playing the game, I have hit the power button and been like,
I accidentally ejected the game card in the middle of my game.
Yep.
Just
lost all that progress.
I picked it up and I pick it up from the middle, and the Switch doesn't have that problem. There's a cover over the cartridge port. Yep. So when you pick it up, you're never going to accidentally eject the cartridge.
Nope. I rest it on my pinkies. Like my pinkies come down. You know, mm-hmm. So it's resting on there, and there's been three times so far where after it had happened after the first time I got the Various suit. Click. Shit.
Damn.
Gonna go back and get the last three things. Son of a mother. Like, it's a horrible place. Why would you put a fucking power button down there? Put it over on the side where it belongs. It's so stupid.
So, yeah, I am done with the 3DS. Now, I did go back and after reading all of Jules Watson's posts and thinking back, like, you know what? Zeo Drifter was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Mutant Muds ruled my life. Like, Jules Watson and Chicken Wiggle deserve my support. And he put it on sale, and a bunch of people bought it after it was on sale. I'm really curious if that made it to the point where the game actually became profitable for him. I hope it did, because I played the first level of Chicken Wiggle like in the middle of my Metroid playthrough, because I was like, I can't let this stand. I have to do my part to buy this game. It's just wonderful. And it is as good as I hoped it would be. After I'm done with Metroid, I would love to play Chicken Wiggle, and I'm going to play as much of it as I can stand to, but I'm so spoiled by the Switch. Like, anytime I'm playing on this little screen, and I have the XL, it's the biggest 3DS screen there is.
Right.
I'm playing on that, and I'm like, man, I played Zelda on my Switch, and I'm spoiled by that high quality screen. It's gorgeous. And yeah. I'm spoiled by being able to just plug it in either downstairs or upstairs and play it on my couch on my television, which is how I want to play this game. Because this game is, it feels modern and it feels big. Like, this game feels like it deserves to be on my television, not on this little tiny screen. Because the boss battles and the environments are gorgeous. And I'd want to see it blown up on a giant screen. And you just don't get that with the 3DS. You still get that feeling of it being a big thing when you're playing on the Switch screen, because it is a big screen for a portable device. But you don't get that with the 3DS, and at least I don't anymore. And so as far as swan songs go, let this be it. Like, I know they're releasing other things on 3DS, but none of those other things are things I particularly care for. They have not announced any more games on 3DS that I'm like, yeah, I'd buy that. Like, I don't care about the top 100 Mario Party thing. I don't care about, I mean, I kind of care about the Mario and Luigi Bowser remake, but not enough.
But again, that's a remake. It's not a new experience.
Yeah, it's not a whole new experience, with the exception of the Goomba thing, which is what I'm most interested in. But I would be over the moon for that if that was coming out on Switch. But since it's on 3DS, like, and that's kind of the difference. Like, when we're talking about releasing games on NES after the Super NES was out, that's a different animal right there, because yeah. The NES, like. It's not like NES games were intrinsically bad at that point. Not that 3DS games were intrinsically bad, but the way you played them was still a controller to something hooked up to a television. And Switch plays intrinsically different from a 3DS.
Right.
I have the option to play on my television. It, you know, goes on and off in sleep modes. It's fast. It's gorgeous. And that's not the case with the 3DS. And there is a big difference between playing something on Switch and 3DS. It could be graphically identical for all I care. It's the experience of playing it on Switch that's different. Like, I don't expect Chicken Wiggle to be this wildly different experience if they ported it over to Switch. But if they did, I would have much preferred to play it there than on 3DS. Chicken. So, Jules Watson, if you're listening, which you aren't.
You should be.
You should be. That's how I feel about the situation. So to answer your question, I hope this is it for 3DS. After this and Chicken Wiggle, I want to retire the thing.
All right, then. Sold.
Right. Sold. Done. Stamp it.
Stamp it.
Ship it.
I ship it. Put a fucking...
I ship it.
Whatever that means. I don't know. Still haven't figured that one out. Something about
kids
relationships, I think. I know.
Yeah.
Bastards. Anyway, so yeah, fabulous game. We'll talk more about it because we'll both finish it relatively soon, I imagine. Mm-hmm. Like, now that
I feel confident that I'm coming close to the end of it. We're both going to go back to playing it as soon as we're done recording this episode anyway. So
I am playing it as we're talking. I'm just kind of walking around killing things, trying to get back up to areas that I might have missed previously.
All right, well, that's our show. Join us next week when Dan and I will be once again tackling the 10-20-30, featuring games like Heavenly Sword, Oddworld Abe's Odyssey, Rad Racer, and more. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram @Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter @the_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm @GeekadeChris. That's Geekade, KRIS. Dan is also at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about Metroid, because that's all we discussed tonight. Be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making the show listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we'll have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh original content, where we post something new every single day. We've pulled it off so far this month.
Even when I screw it up and don't post things.
That's right. And that's it, everybody. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.